contending earnestly for the faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Ministries, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, we are extremely grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. And before we begin our teaching this week, I want to update you as to what is going on with Abounding Grace Radio and some of our new plans and where we are taking the program. As you know, this program has been funded by the Linden United Reformed Church. And now for the past 5 years, the Linden URC, the church where I pastor, has carried the heavy financial burden to keep this radio broadcast coming to you. Well, we recently have established Abounding Grace as its own separate entity. It's now Abounding Grace Radio, and it has its own board, and we are seeking to advance the gospel through the radio more to you here at KARI and hopefully down the road to other stations across the country. But we've never asked for any financial support or help for the program, and we are now asking you to partner with us, both prayerfully and financially. If this program has been a blessing to you over the years, or you have recently tuned in and are gleaning from the Word of God, the truths that are here spoken on Abounding Grace, we ask that you become a part of that and give back to help us to help somebody else who needs to hear the truth. And so all your donations here in the U.S. are tax deductible, and soon we'll have that status in Canada. Our mailing address is Abounding Grace Radio, 732 Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Again, 732 is the P.O. Box for Abounding Grace Radio. And we will soon be having a web presence with a brand new website that you can download all the past programming and learn more about who we are and what we believe. So we thank you for prayerfully considering this. It's an exciting time for Abounding Grace. It's something that we've long wanted to do, but we do need your help. We need your help prayerfully and financially. I want to read again a bit of what the section here, the letter to the church in Thyatira, to set the context. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sickbed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works." Now, what a powerful section. We're continuing our study. Remember the problem here. Outwardly, the church in Thyatira had many good things going on, but Christ is looking at the heart of this church. And as we considered with the church in Pergamos, he cares a lot about his truth. He is really bothered with those churches that tolerate false doctrine. He has no tolerance for that. But here we're studying the other problem, that Satan is constantly working to attack the church's holiness. And that's the emphasis here. Here's what's happening in Thyatira. Lydia was the seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Its only greatness had to do with industry and commercialism. It was a prosperous trading center. And what Thyatira boasted about were its trade guilds. Guilds would later give way to trade unions, but they were associations of merchants that were formed to protect their trading. And all of these trade guilds were dedicated to some pagan deity that in order to be a part of it, they had to partake of their feasts and the foods offered to idols and pay homage to these gods. Now, you know, just like with Israel with the golden calf, you start tampering with this stuff, you open the door to all sorts of immorality. Well, here was this woman Jezebel, who was seducing the members to get involved with this stuff, sexual immorality and eating things offered to in idols and feasts. Now, you'll remember that Revelation is not speaking here literally, but symbolically, as it takes the language and names of the Old Testament and applies it to the circumstances of this church. Jezebel, whose name meant pure, was the wicked wife of King Ahab. Remember what she did? She was a pagan priestess of the goddess Astarte, and she incited Israel to compromise and fornicate by worshiping Baal. Now put yourself in their shoes. Here's a woman in the church who has incredible influence, well-known member. And the very spirit of Jezebel seems to be coming out in her. She was saying, lo and behold, as Christians, you can be involved in this. They say she was an early Gnostic. And Gnosticism said, basically, that the spirit is all that matters, but you can do what you do in the body doesn't. So if your sins are in the body and it doesn't, they don't ultimately harm the spirit, they are okay. Gnostics boasted about delving into the secret things of God. So what was being tolerated was that these Christians could be involved with these pagan trade guilds and participate in their feasts and the foods offered to idols. And they probably misapplied Paul's statement when he said in 1 Corinthians that we know that an idol is not anything or things offered to idols or anything. People all the time will twist the scriptures to justify behaviors that are completely against the sanctified lives that the Lord calls us to live. That's the issue. That's what's completely lost today in the church. And, you know, what is the purpose and calling that the Lord has given us? You ever thought about that? Ephesians chapter 1. Let me give you a few verses here. He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what end? That we should be holy and blameless in his sight. How about this? Christ Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but holiness. Revelation's great theme for the churches is to say, remember that you are the holy people of God. You are called out to be a special people. And that's Revelation 18:4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Come out, be separate, and I will receive you. Remember what 2 Corinthians said, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Now, this has been always a problem in the church. Remember what the apostle had to warn the church about in Corinth? Remember what he said? Don't you know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. See what he said? Many of you are being deceived that this kind of stuff's okay to do and still be called a Christian. And he's saying that is flat out against. Don't be deceived. Those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a basic fundamental difference between repenting of sin as you struggle against it, turning from it, asking the Lord for grace to overcome, and then practicing it. Those who live in sin, practicing the sin and say, it's okay, they are not saved. That is the really clear message of the Bible. So the great pressure that we are under in the church today is to blur all distinction with the world. So the problem is that the church today is advancing the gospel. As it advances the gospel, the same problem as Thyatira comes out. Often the church becomes antinomian, anti-law. Let me show you in closing today just how bad this is. If I said today, you can't murder. Anyone argue? No, everyone agrees. You can't murder and be a Christian. What about steal? No, you can't go out and continually steal. You can't practice stealing. And then if I went through the second table of the law, we really wouldn't have any problem with it, right? You can't commit adultery. You shouldn't be around coveting. These are things the law clearly condemns. But what if we went to the first table of the law? No other gods. Can't worship any other god. Got it. Most would agree. But then we come to the ultimate test of our loyalty. What about the third commandment? Take the Lord's name in vain? No, can't do that. Second commandment, bow down to idols? No, can't do that. Fifth commandment, dishonor parents? No, can't practice that either. Fourth commandment. The Lord says, I want you to honor the Sabbath day. The rest principle, rest from your labors. Now, for Christians today, we know that we follow the pattern of Christ and his disciples, which was on the first day of the week. First day of the week, first of the Sabbaths. Now, I'm going to touch on something sensitive when I get on this subject, right? You know, years ago, Eric Liddell refused to run in the 1924 Olympics because it was on the Sabbath, right? What was not questioned at that time is that Sunday was the Christian Sabbath. Years ago, if you broke it, you didn't break it saying, it's okay to do it. No, no, you just didn't hear that. You just went against it. You just rejected it. Move ahead to 2012. We've got Christians obsessed with Tim Tebow and Jeremy Lin and these sports heroes. Now, in times past, our sports heroes understood the importance, those who were Christians, of worshiping the Lord as the Lord calls them to do. Today, there's no regard for his holy day. How should we view that? If Jesus said, you'll love me, you keep my commandments, shouldn't we be bold enough to say that it would be sin to go out and work on that day? Ian Murray, Scotland's rugby star, recently came out and said this. He refuses now, their greatest rugby star, to play ball on Sunday. Here's what he said. It was going against my conscience and it became impossible to enjoy. I realized quite simply, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. There are 10 commandments, not 9. What do you think the Christian community would call me today if I said you shouldn't be out doing those things? I say that fully recognizing that to say these things today earns a lot of mockery. But think about it. That's the spirit of Jezebel. Oh, you don't have to separate yourself from these gods. You can be a Christian and still partake in these things. See it? The issue is, does God allow us to openly break his commandments? If you answer no to that, then you have to be willing to take the stand. You have to be willing to have backbone. The church in Thyatira didn't. It allowed them to teach and seduce the servants into immorality, involved in things that directly break the Lord's commands for holiness. And what does the Lord say? That's wrong. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to take a stand for this. But the Lord's standards are for our benefit. And here we see that he calls us to be holy because he's holy, to stand on the truth of his word, and to remember that we are called to be a special people in the earth. We would like to remind you that Abounding Grace Radio is now a listener-supported program. We need your prayerful and financial support to remain on the program to bring these daily broadcasts to you. Our mailing address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.